Well, thank you. Thank you for coming tonight, and thank you for praying for me. We have some visitors, so I want to kind of reiterate where I'm going with this revival. This is a revival for God's people. I know you're here tonight. Starting Sunday morning, I tried to show you that God has an eternal plan. And that eternal redemptive plan goes like this. We were created in the image and likeness of God. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Never an angel, never an animal was created in the image and likeness of God. Just human beings. And God loved us and fellowship with us. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 talks about God coming in the cool of the evening and visiting with Adam and Eve for how long we don't know, until Adam and Eve rebelled. God created us for fellowship. We have rebelled. Everything in the Bible from Genesis 3 to Revelation 20 is God cleaning up the mess of human rebellion. But He would not let us go. He would not start over. He was willing to work with us right in the middle of our sin and rebellion and unfaithfulness. Look at the nation of Israel, how He was faithful in the midst of her being unfaithful. The New Testament continues that theme. It's something we call the Great Commission, which is not really a New Testament theme. It's an Old Testament theme that is repeated. We can see it in Matthew 28, 16 through 20. We can see it in Luke 24, 46, 47. We can see it in Acts 1, 8. That God's heart beats for lost world. God loves people made in His image. He loves them so much, He sent His only Son to die in their place that we might have eternal life as a free gift by putting our faith in Him. Amen? Now, if that's the purpose of the church, we're doing a lot of good things, but what happens if we're not careful is we start letting the good replace the best. We can do anything, but if we do not do the Great Commission, we are simply a social group in Jesus' name. The church is an oasis of the kingdom of God in the midst of the kingdom of darkness to attract human beings to God. If you think of the verse in the Gospels where it says, they'll see our good works and they'll glorify our Father in heaven. Our lives are meant to be an attractant to people who are lost and lonely and hurting, and God wants to reach them through us. Now tonight, I want to be very practical. I want to base it on two texts. If you want to look with me, you're welcome to, but I've marked them in my Bible and I can find them quicker than you. One of them is the Colossians chapter 4, and I want to look at verse 5 and 6. Colossians 4, 5 and 6. Conduct yourself with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace. Season it, as it were, with salt, so that you may know how you should respond to each person. And then probably the most famous text along this line that all of us are meant to be a verbal witness is in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. I'd like to start in verse 14 to kind of give you a little context for this. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to anyone who should ask you to give an account of the hope that is in you with gentleness and reverence. With gentleness and reverence. I want to talk tonight about the first aspect of the Great Commission. We focused last night on the Great Commission. There are two main aspects. Go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, and then teaching them to obey all that I commanded you. So there are two parts to the Great Commission. Baptists have tended to focus on the first part, which is wonderful, and sometimes neglect the second part. I'm going to be talking about discipleship tomorrow night and Wednesday. Please pray for me. Tonight, I want to talk about sharing our faith. Brothers and sisters, I want to say to you that I am not an evangelist. I don't have that gift. I used to take my class street witnessing, and they would win people and I wouldn't. It was so embarrassing. They're bouncing off the car going home and I'm going, huh. But I've always had a heart for lost people. And didn't know quite what to do as an introvert. I just don't start conversation. I've been in places and somebody will start a conversation over a pencil on the floor. It's just not me. I have to plan it. I have to pray about it, and I have to be prepared. And I want to say that God's people, all of you are not going to be confrontational evangelists or door-to-door evangelists, but I want to say this to you. Your daddy has told you he has a desire for your life. That's pretty important. Amen? And he has said in that great commission that, lo, I myself am with you always. We never go by ourselves. We never go on our own, and we never go with our own message. Amen? Now, if he has all authority in heaven on earth, and he tells me to go, and he tells me he's going to with me, I can go. But here's the deal. I got to decide to do it. I got to be intentional. I got to be prepared. And I've got to be available. And if any one of those is not in place, it's not going to happen. For me, if I don't plan this, it doesn't happen. Jerry, it just doesn't happen. I just don't do this naturally. I know it's the will of God. I know it's against my natural tendencies. And so to do it, I've got to plan it. Now, early in my ministry, I've always had this pull and heart for evangelism. But I didn't know what to do. I took all the courses the church offered, Roman Road, all the different wind schools and telephone surveys and evangelism explosions, and all of those were helpful, but they just were never natural to me. Very early, back in 1976, two men came to see me about the concept of partnership missions. Now, I know your pastor doesn't like to fly, so I'm talking to some of you who will fly with me sometime. He and I drove all the way to Idaho because this dude didn't want to get on an airplane. It took us 3 days to get home. Amen? Amen. These men talked to me about partnership evangelism. I became involved then in a thing called International Commission out of Dallas. And I have taken people from my churches. I've been a pastor. I've been an interim pastor to a lot of churches. And I've been a professor. And I've taken students when I was a professor and groups. Matter of fact, Cypress Baptist Church, Benton went with me. I don't see anybody here from North Monroe, but North Monroe went with me, taking many in Texas. And what partnership missions is that a church somewhere in the world asks a group of Christians to come and share their faith with their family and friends. 6 months before we come, they write a list of people they're not sure whether they're saved or not of their family and friends. They begin praying for those friends every day. They prepare to take us to go visit them when we get there. We have our testimony printed out in a foreign language. We write it. And we have a track that we run through, a series of brief questions that get straight to the point. I can't speak these languages, so I have to have an interpreter from the church. Really, all I do is get us in the door. Here's a dude from North America with a message for God. Can we come in? Well, sure. And I haven't said nothing yet. And they read my testimony and go over this track. I hope I can do this. I want to tell you three of these experiences I've had in over 40 of these around the world. One of them was with Peggy. We were in Argentina. Church was kind of far away, didn't have a lot of cars, so they just told us to ride a bus. Gabe told us where to go, the name of the bus, so we just didn't speak Spanish. So we found the bus, got on the bus, and we had these tracks in our name. And we were sitting in the back of the bus, and a lady got on the bus and came and sat down. Peggy just gave her that track. That lady read that track, opened it up, filled out the prayer request, and gave it back to us. Never opened our mouth. I've been in countries, I can say a little Spanish, leo por favor, no interpreter with me. You pray for me a minute, would you? It is so hard to see the power of God and come back to an American church. Just ask people to read this on the street. They'd read it, and they'd want to pray and receive Christ. I couldn't say a word. I want to do two from Brazil. Our brother here tonight is from Brazil. Both these were in Rio. One of them, in Brazil, a lot of people go visiting with you. So we had an appointment in a walled community. Couldn't just get in, had to know somebody in there. They knew a lawyer that lived in there. There's 15 of us. We were a little late for the appointment and couldn't get in, so most of the group left. But I was a witness to a house right across the street, and I happened to be late to get to that door. And they called the lawyer, and he said, well, come on in. So it's just me, and I forgot Peggy, if you were with me, but somebody else was with me, at least two. Sat down. Went through the simple track. We just read my testimony, went through the questions. This lawyer prayed to receive Christ. And he said, I want to tell you something. He said, last night, I couldn't sleep. 4 a.m, I fell out of bed and I said, if there's a God, you send somebody to my house tomorrow. And I showed up. God is looking for availability, not ability, availability. This man was ready. Had nothing to do with me. Had nothing to do with my inner. I leave my doctor's degree in America when I go overseas, and I do a simple track that I can't even read and go through a set of questions that are just the simple gospel. And far more happens than when I preach my exegetical messages in the U.S. I remember I was in Chile, Santiago. Wonderful. Just Peggy and I by ourselves this time. Other churches had other people from our church, but just us, this church. There was a drunk outside, every night outside. I just felt so convicted. I stopped one night for the service and knelt down and talked to this man. Nobody wanted to talk to this man. They were, no, he don't want to talk to you. This man thought he was drunk, but he listened, he prayed, and he started coming every night to the revival. The last night, this man said, would you come to my house and tell my family? So Peggy and I went. His wife was so mad, she wouldn't even come in the room. But his two older sons, adult sons, both then trusted Christ. I can still see that drunk's face. I'm going to see it again, too. Had nothing to do with me except I was overcame my fear. Overcame, I can't pay for this. Overcame everything the devil said why I couldn't go. And the greatest blessings of my life have been in places where I can't even speak to the other Christians. I want to tell you one more about Brazil. My translator was a real young girl. She finally came in, lived with us, and went to school. And we were in some barrio in some town, and there was a macumba. It's kind of a voodoo thing in Brazil. And this was the community leader of the Macumba movement. And the Christians just told us where the house was. We didn't know they had left us, but my interpreter and I knocked on this door. Come to find out the church was hiding behind a house 2 blocks away, peeking around the corner. They wouldn't even go to the house. This was a normal house. I couldn't tell it was a Macumba leader. There wasn't no chicken bones around or nothing, but we just sat down, we prayed, we read through my testimony, we went through the questions, this lady starts crying and prays the prayer. And before we left, she said to my interpreter, would you thank this North American for bringing the gospel to my home? And we went outside and told the church, and they started dancing in the street. Macumba leader saved with a simple testimony. I wish I had time to tell you the things I've seen. The power of God overseas. I've come to a place that I'd rather be in a dirt floor with the power of God than chandelier pews in America where nothing ever happens. No life change, no transformation, no power of God. Prosperity And American individualism has robbed us of the presence and power of God. May I say to you, you say, I can't do that. If you're not dead, you can do it. You say, I don't have enough money, but this church will help you go. It'll make you a better person back home. It'll make you more appreciative of missions. It'll make you a better mission giver if you can see the hand of God move in a place that you have nothing to do with but pray. None of your resources, none of your money, none of your education, none of your privilege counts except your simple testimony and a simple track. And the power of God brings people after people. Jerry, I hope you'll look online at this place. It's called ic-world.org. They do 50 partnership missions a year around the world. I guess I'm never happier unless I'm in my office studying than when I get to see somebody saved. But some of you have not seen people saved the way the third world's on fire and America's under the judgment of God. I just pray you could see how God can use you. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. Everything that I am as a preacher stays at home because I can't say a word. It's a simple, this is what God did for me. This is the gospel in question form. A sample prayer. Would you be willing to pray this? And then we ask the church to go back and follow up on these people. I hate to use numbers because it just blow your mind, but I've really seen thousands of people come to Christ. I witness here and very little happens. It's so discouraging. But I want to tell you, God's active in His world. And He's looking for available people who put their hands in His hand. And you go with other Christians and you go with other church members. Remember one time we were going somewhere. It was a problem in that country. Matter of fact, Peggy and I were in Chile when the Pinochet riots broke out. We were in Argentina when the Falkland War broke out. It was a problem in this country. And some of the Americans said, well, should we go? It's bad. And the preachers of that country called us and said, well, we can't guarantee that there won't be trouble. But we guarantee this, we'll stand around you and die first. I want to be with those kind of folks if I'm going to die. I just want to see the power of God. I'm so sorry, America, for whatever reason, has lost that sense of the power. We were watching a video at Jerry's house from a church we both were at long ago and showed how the growth was back in the 1950s and 60s and 70s. It was wonderful growth in America. All those churches are less than 20, almost 20% of what they were one day. The judgment of God is on this country because of what we've allowed to happen. The immorality and godlessness and prayerlessness, the selfishness, the self-centeredness. It's very rare that these things happen in this country. They still do with the prayer and power of God and mercy. But if I can get you to see what God can do somewhere else where you have no resources, you'll never be the same again. If I can get a young preacher, take him overseas, let him see how God can use him in an evangelistic way, he'll be an evangelistic preacher all of his life. Please pray about being a part of partnership mission somewhere. Last couple of years, I've been in Armenia. I've been there a lot. And Iranian Christians came across the border this time because they wanted a course in the Bible. And we're going to go back in March to Armenia. And these Iranian Christians are going to participate with Armenian churches in this partnership evangelism to see what maybe we can do in Iran. I talked to an IBM missionary while I was there, and he said that he thinks that the Islamic Revolution is the best thing that ever happened for Christianity in Iran. Because he says the people of Iran are sick of the legalistic, drastic Muslim influence there. And that he believes there's over 1 million Christians in the nation of Iran. God is working. He's working. But he's not working here. The last statistic I saw from, I think it was from Lifeway, every day, 86,000 people are saved in the world, every day. In Europe and America, of that 86,000, 6,000 are saved. There was a time in America it had been the other way. I don't know if we passed that time. I don't know if I don't know what, but I know this. I want in my lifetime to see the power of God. And I'm willing to go anywhere to see it and be a part of it. And I invite you to throw off the fear and throw off the I can't and throw off it's not my personality and throw off I can't. I've been on these crusades with 90-year-old people. These men and women who go with me who are lay people have won far more people to Christ than the vast majority of pastors in America that I've ever met. Now, first time I went, I was scared to death. I just knew if I knocked on that door, they're going to ask me a question I couldn't answer. Here I am, devil used that. They didn't ask me nothing. Fear is what keeps most of us. Self-centeredness, what's somebody going to think, keeps most of us silent. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, you can light up your church by letting people see the power of God in the third world in this partnership evangelism. I challenge you. I challenge you. I beg you. Allow God to bless you. Call them. Let somebody come and share with you. Let them show you their material. Let them give you a list of what's going to happen, what countries are available. I think I'm going back to Armenia. Peggy, you remember what time we went last year? Sometime in the early spring. If you want to go with me, please go with me. I think my kids are going to St. Petersburg, not this September, but next September in Russia. We may go with them. Come go with us. You'll probably be in your own church. We divide these lay people up into churches with pastors that go, or many of them preach. And we stay in the same hotel and go every day and work all day and come back. I've never been so tired and so happy in my whole life. I've sold fish tanks, cashed in life insurance policies, borrowed money. People just out of the blue give me money. I went to Russia a few years ago. I wanted to take Bibles. And I wanted students at ETBU to put their name and address so people who were saved could write them. I mean, we had 4,000 Bibles just when the Soviet Union broke up. I was interim pastor at First Baptist Tyler. A lady gave me a check for $2,000. I said, I don't need this. She said, you just take it. If you do, use it. I got to Aeroflot in Dallas. Now, what we do on International Commission is we let every participant take a box of supplies. But Aeroflot wouldn't let me take my boxes with all the students that were going. They said, no, you can't use that way. Well, I said, well, how much will it get me to get these boxes to Moscow? They said, it costs $2,000. Just took out the check and signed it. Now, I'm going to Kazakhstan. I got to get from Moscow to Kazakhstan with 40 cases of Bibles. And I have no more money. So we got to Moscow, and it started snowing. Snowed for 24 hours. We were stuck with 23 students in the domestic airport at Russia. If you know what that's like, that is not good. 24 hours, we're stuck there. We opened those Bibles up and started giving them to people who are going all over Russia. Gave a bunch of those Bibles away just to those who are passing through. Next day, the guy came out and said, we have a rule. If you're delayed 24 hours, all luggage goes free. We got on that airplane with those Bibles. They found out we had Bibles. In midair. They sent one of the men stewards down in the hole of the airplane to get those Bibles to pass them out on that airplane. Power of God. That never happened here anymore. Brothers and sisters, don't settle for a religion that's just come to church once a week. It's available to you. All you've got to do is overcome the reluctance. Thousands of people like you have gone. They've come back changed permanently. People overseas have been saved by the thousands. Churches have been started. Are you available? That's the question. People say, no. See, we like to talk about it. We're just afraid to do it. And you're going to be robbed of the blessing if you don't let God teach to your heart right now. Get your leadership to call these folks. Let them come talk to you. Okay. Say, well, that's great, but what about here? Okay, Let's talk about here for a minute. What we've got to have is a clear vision that this is the will of God for every Christian. This is not for the pastor. This is not for the deacon. This is not for the Sunday school teacher. This is not for the dynamic personality. This is not for the wealthy person. This is not for the smart person. This is for every Christian. Now, I told you last night, the Great Commission, if you look at verses 16 and 17, some were afraid that has to refer probably to the 5,000 brothers that saw Jesus for the first time on a mountain in Galilee. And Jesus looked a little different after the resurrection. That's got to be who that is. So if that's true, then the Great Commission was not given to the apostles in the upper room. It was given to a much wider swath of the early church. 500 brothers are who the Great Commission was given to. That means go and make disciples is not a mandate to pastors. It's a mandate to Christians. And you don't have to go to Kazakhstan. Dadgum, you may have to go across the street. But we won't. It takes 150 Baptists 1 year to win one person to Christ in the situation in America today. 150 of us. Maybe that's the power of God and the absence of the Spirit here. I don't know. But if I know that God told me to do this, I know some things have got to happen. Number one, I've got to say, God, if you told me I'm available, here am I, scared to death. I told you last night, when I do street witnessing with these young people, we throw up, we pray, and then we go do it. Then we throw up again, then we go do it. Then we go do it. If it's the will of the King, and he promised that all authority and all power is with him, and he is always with us, and he tells us to go, the only response is, yes, sir. That's the only response. It's got to be an intentionality. There's got to be an availability. There's got to be a prayerful heart, and there's got to be a preparation. Now, what is the sum of preparation that you ought to do? I think we ought to get up every day and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I'm available. Now, I'm probably not going to knock on somebody's door, and I'm probably not going to start a conversation, but it is amazing to me when I say, God, I'm available, the people that come in my life with opportunities. I can remember I was at the Kentucky Fried Chicken several years ago. I just ordered two breasts, and oh, it was good. And right in the middle of this lady serving me, she had a Grand Mal Caesar right behind the counter. Just, and they got her up, put her in a chair. I got my chicken. I went and sat down. Boy, God said to me, Bob, not audibly, go sit with that girl and you tell her I love her. God, I'm right in the middle of breast and gravy here. I mean, Bob, get up and go tell that girl I love her. Now, friends, when you get that, you better get up. And go tell that girl. I didn't do a witness with her. I didn't sit down and share the gospel. I just said with her, I know that embarrassed you. I just want you to know that God loves you and you're an important person to him. That was all I was supposed to do. But it was very, very important. I was available. Are you available? Really, man, are you available? Sister, are you available? Do you want God to speak to you? Or do you prefer a church to be one day a week and leave me alone? Leave me alone. I'll put $5 in the thing. Just leave me alone. God will not leave you alone because you belong to him. You've been bought with a price. Glorify God with your bodies. You do not belong to yourself. So how do we prepare ourselves? In the back of your church, there's two little things that hold tracts. You say, Bob, I hear you, I'm convicted, but I'm just not going to do that. I know I'm not. Okay? What can you do, sister, brother? We have several holidays in America that we have wonderful cards that share the gospel with people. This happened to be, I found this in your foyer just 5 minutes ago. If Jesus Christ had only 5 minutes to talk with you this Christmas season, what would he like to tell you? Now, why don't you stick that in your Christmas cards and mail them to some folks you weren't planning on making? You see, you got to order this early, and you got to plan, and you got to have it there, And you got to pray, God, who do you want me to send a Christmas card to this year? And you got to stick this in there and sign your name and put a favorite verse underneath that if they want to know what it is, they got to look it up in their Bible. And stick this track in there and take the chance that the Holy Spirit may spark it. What do you do for Halloween? So I buy M&Ms. What's up? Well, as a prepared, intentional, available Christian, a month before Halloween, you write to one of these tract societies and get these comic book tracts for children. And you give them M&Ms and a bunch of them and a tract. And you take every opportunity to say something about Christ. And when you give a wedding gift or a shower, you try to think of something that'll be a blessing to their life. Maybe it's a devotional book instead of just a plate they don't need. But something that says who you are in Christ and has an intentionality. There are tracts available to you. I found these in the back of your church. But I don't know if Dre's going to provide them or not. But you need to order them yourself. Campus Crusade for Christ, you can buy a pack of 25, four spiritual laws for about 10 cents a piece. They'll mail them to you. What you do is, you're probably not going to give them away to every person you meet, but what you do is put one in your purse, one in your Bible, and one in your glove compartment. And if you say, God, I'm available today to share with anybody you'll bring in my life, and suddenly that opportunity just opens up, and there's a track that you prayed about and got your phone number on that you can share with them and just say, I want you to know I'm praying for you. And this has really been a blessing to me. But you gotta pray to be available and you gotta prepare with intentionality. We found these in the back room. Y'all did it before, years before, something else. This is the New Testament. The second page tells you of the plan of salvation where you turn to the Roman road. Turn to page 32. Read the underlined scripture. Turn to page 143. This Bible does itself. But if you put this in your glove compartment, put this in your purse, and you say, Lord, would you bring me to somebody's life that I'd get a chance to say, this book's been a blessing to me. Maybe it will for you. There's 50 of them right there, right? Please don't leave here without these Bibles. This is not for you to read. You got a Bible. Put this in your glove compartment. Put it in your purse. Get one of these tracts. Say, God, I'll be available. I'm going to prepare and be ready. God, if there's a lost person, we pray that there's a lost person, they'll be saved in church. They ain't going to be here unless you do something first. And the surveys, I'm so glad Leesville's here. I love your former pastor too. Ain't coming for you. You don't preach that good. They ain't coming for you either. The survey says that 90% of people that are saved in church come because a friend invited them. You don't preach people out of the pew. They come because you said, I love you. Would you come with me? We're going to have a special dinner. We're going to have turkey for Thanksgiving. We got a special singer. Would you come to the Sunday school with me? I'll come by. Are you new in town? Listen, I got a great church. Will you come with me to church? 90% come because a friend invited them. How long has it been since you had friends today? How long has it been since you even thought about inviting somebody to come with you? There's the problem. These four walls have become barriers. This has become a prison of joy. But God didn't send His Son for these four walls. He sent His Son for these four corners of the world. And He's only got one human instrumentality, and that's you. That's you. And until we get over, that's the pastor's job, or the so-and-so's job, until we realize that the Great Commission is every believer's job, we're never going to do the Great Commission. Because this is addition, you're multiplication. I don't know what else to say. I got a whole lot more stories, but I don't think that'll work. I have shown you the Bible. I have gone verse by verse, Old Testament, New Testament. God loves everybody. God wants everybody to be saved. He died for a world. He's the Savior of the world. You're the benefit of that. You've got the answer to the world's need. And you sit silent in your selfish American pulpit. And the world is falling off the hell every moment. I think God's speaking to you. If you can only hear Him. And maybe I've said nothing that fits you. Maybe you're going to be someone who bakes a cake and takes it to your neighbor. Says, "We're welcome to town. Would you come to my church?" Maybe you're someone going to work in a civic club. We talked about make friends intentionally to help them come to Christ. I do not know all the ways that you have inroads into the community. But I know this. Most of us sit in our pews, pat ourselves on the back, and think this is what Christianity is. That I park my car in this parking lot 1 hour or 2 hours a week, and that's all God wants. And I assure you, that's not all God wants. I wish you'd come join me in prayer, and I pray you're available. And if you're available, I pray you'll be a prayerful, intentional, prepared witness for God.
Brother Craig, if y'all come, the invitation is open for any decision you have to make, and it may have nothing to do with